Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you so much
for that. That's one of my favorite missionary conference songs. How can I say no? I heard that and I thought the same thing. How can I say no? I cannot say no when I know there's so much I could do. And there's so much that you and I can do. So much more. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God so much for this opportunity I have to be here once again to present what I think is very important message. But first, before I get into my message, I want to thank all of you for this wonderful time I've had. I only get to come here every 2 years, so when I do come, it's like extra special. The Mexican missionaries, they get it every year, so this is natural, normal for them. Every 2 years, you really enjoy it. You really get to enjoy everything, and it's just the fellowship. And the morning meetings has been great. The food and the just everything that you guys have been doing for us this week is just amazing. And I want to praise the Lord for your faithfulness and for your prayers and support for my wife and I, my wife and my kids can't be here for that. But you heard a little bit from my wife, from Magda, on the presentation, and she is like she said, we are very grateful for your prayers and support. We love you guys so much that words are not enough to explain what you do for us. And we do want to thank you for everything. So now that I got that out of the way, I always forget to do that. My wife gets upset at me that I forgot to do that, so I got that now. I hope she's proud of me. Ezra chapter 10. Thank you, Brother Mark, for giving me more time. I don't know if everybody's happy about that, but I will try to make it short and sweet. I will try to kiss it, as Brother Lindell always told me. Kiss it. Ezra chapter 10. I'm thankful that John didn't steal my message either. I shared a little bit of this down in Mexico in León. And he said, oh, I like that. I said, no, you don't. No, you're not going to take it. I might do. No, you're not. Find your own messages. Don't steal mine. So I'm happy. I was hoping. I was waiting for this to be the last one. I know that John had his three, and I was wondering if he was going to beat me to it, but he didn't. So I'm happy that I get to share this with you guys. Ezra chapter 10, starting from verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah the son of Jehiel, one of the sons of Elam, answered and said unto Ezra, we have trespassed against our Lord and have taken strange wives of the people of the land, yet now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born of them according to the counsel of my Lord and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this wonderful time, for this time we have to be before you. I pray, Father, you lead me and guide me. Use me, Lord, as an instrument in your hands to preach your word, Lord, to touch hearts, Lord. I want to see souls surrendering to you, Lord. I want to see something. We want to see something happening, Lord, on these meetings, Lord. We pray that you touch all of our hearts. Move us, Lord, and give us a revival within our own selves, Lord, that we may love you more and deeper. We praise you, Father, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you about there is still hope. Amen. And I love hope. Hope is the foundation of who we are as Christians. We have hope. And our hope is alive. Our hope is not is a living hope, not a dead hope. And I praise God for that. But, you know, we live in a times, you know, where people are getting more and more callous towards sin. As Brother Mark was pointing out about the LGBT movement and all the other things, that's just a portion of it. You know, just disgusting how this world is going. But you notice here, Ezra is weeping. He's weeping because they have done something wrong. They have sinned. And not only that, I want you to notice, before him is a congregation of men, women, and children who are also weeping. They have come to realization that they did wrong. They sinned. And now they are, all of them have, are gathered together, this great congregation of men, women, and children, for the people wept very sore. I wonder when's the last time that your sin caused you to weep and to ask the Lord, what can I do to make it right? Now, I kind of like a question, Brother Mark, was, what can I do to, what can I render unto the Lord? What can I do? That's a good question. Yet, what Shechaniah says here in verse 2 is just such an abundance of blessings and hope. He says, yet now there is hope. Yeah, we know we did wrong. We know we did. We took these wives. We did wrong. We have children from them. We know we did wrong. Yet there is hope. Why? Because we are still alive. Yet there is hope. We know there is still hope because we can do something about it. It's not the end. It's not the final. Jesus Christ hasn't come back yet. There is still hope. There is still hope to change things. And we know that there is hope. And you know, although sometimes we may think it's differently, that there is no hope, because life comes at you fast sometimes, doesn't it? You know, we have sicknesses in the family. We have marriages are breaking apart all around us, and kids are growing up and making the wrong decisions, going down the wrong paths. You know, and families are growing apart instead of closer. People are losing their jobs, financial crises, and churches are struggling and losing people. And you say, why is that? I don't know exactly. We need to think about it. I can tell you one thing. Yet there is still hope. There is still hope for these things. There is still hope. You can do something about it. Don't just sit down and say, oh, I'm going to give up. I'm not going to do anything about it. These things are happening. It's natural. It's just the way it goes. And I'm just going to just go with the flow. No. Don't go with the flow. Don't do. Just get down. Get right with the Lord and say, there is still hope. Let me do something about it. Amen. Yet there is still hope. And we say there is hope because our hope is in Christ. Not in ourselves, not in the government, not in what we can do or what others can do for us. Our hope is in Christ. First Timothy 1:1 talks about that. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the command of our God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He is our hope. Our hope lies in the one who died and rose again and will live eternally. That is where our hope lies. Now, if you're hoping that, you know, and that Brother Linda or Brother Billy or the pastor, Brother Brian, will do something here, and you say, well, they're not doing it right, they're losing people, so we're going to leave. Well, if your hope is in them, then yeah, things are not going to go quite as you expect them to do. But if your hope is in Christ, you're going to say, you know what, all the things are bad, I know there is still hope because Jesus still lives. He is alive and he is not done. We may see some hard times, some valleys, but you know what? Up come the mountains. Well, God is the God of the valley and of the mountains. High parts and the low parts. You know, He's the same God. So let's not give up hope. Let's remember who our hope is. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. Our hope is alive, and He's doing good. He's doing good things around us. You may not see it here, but just taking around you what's happening in other places. He is doing something good. He can do the same thing here if we just don't give up hope. Revelations 1:18 says, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Amen. He is doing something. He's saving souls. He still saves souls. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that still to this day, He's touching people's hearts? There is still hope. He's changing lives. He's healing diseases. He's touching hearts. He's lifting up bent knees. Those are what things He is doing, and He is our hope. Let's not give up hope just because things look a little bleak at this very moment. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. There is still hope for you, my brothers and sisters. There is still hope, no matter how old or how young or how unimportant you may think or how simple you may think you are or whatever you think, There is still hope for you. God can use you in a magnificent way that you yet have been able to imagine. There is still hope for you. There is hope for me. We still can do something. Each and every one of us can do something. There is still hope. God can use you. As long as there is breath in you, there is still hope. Turn to Ecclesiastes 9. Studying this, I stumbled across this verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 3. Ecclesiastes 9:3 says, "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion." Wow. Who wants a dead lion? I don't want a dead lion. I want a living dog. At least, you know, that can do something. It can bark. He can, you know, defend. You can enjoy. You can play fetch. There's things you can do with a living dog. But a dead lion, there's nothing you can do with that. It may look nice on your wall, but it's dead. There comes a day when you will be here no longer. You and me. Are you going to be the living dog? Or the dead lion. You can say, man, I was ferocious, but you're a dead lion now. Yeah, but look at my paws. Look at what I could, could, but didn't. Look at verse 5. "For the living now know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." What kind of memory are you leaving behind you? One of these days, you will die. I will die. One of these days, people out there, and these people are dying every moment of the day. There's somebody dying. And they're going to hell without hope. There is no hope for them unless we are that living dog that goes out and says, "You know what? I'm going to tell them. I'm going to be that living dog and I'm going to say, you know what? I don't want to be that dead lion. I want to be somebody who actually does something for the Lord." There is still hope for you. I don't care how old you are or how frail you can be. Look, there is a brother, David Ring. Have anybody heard of this brother, David Ring? David Ring, if you haven't heard of him, look him up on YouTube. He's an amazing preacher. He has a problem. He was born 14 minutes. And after he was born in 14 minutes after his birth, he did not breathe. 14 minutes, he was dead. Miraculously, he came alive. Miraculously, they just threw his body in the back on some table after he was born dead, threw it in the back of there and just forgot about it. He's a preacher. He lives by preaching. This man stutters like you would not believe, because he has cerebral palsy. And he preached the message, and this is just one of his messages I heard. He goes, I have cerebral palsy. What is your excuse? Because I am living by my words, by preaching. Can you imagine? I am living by preaching. And he stutters like you could not imagine. And it's very difficult. You have to, you know, concentrate really hard. But man, when you start getting the rhythm of how he preaches and what he's saying, it's like, whoo, I want to hear him more. This guy has something to say. He's a testimony. He did not let a little thing like cerebral palsy stop him from preaching God's word. How many able bodies today are saying what the sisters were saying? Can I say no when he says go? They said, no, I can't. I don't know how to speak. Do you have cerebral palsy? Do you have something that is hindering you from speaking? Do you have a problem with your tongue? Problem is with our heart. Not with the physical. With our heart is the problem. And that is why we have to remember there is still hope for you. And I want to encourage you tonight to think about what you can do for the Lord. Don't just throw in the towel just because things get a little bit difficult. It's part of life. It's the way things go. But I can tell you right now, you can do something. Think about it. You say, I can't do something for the Lord because my past is so bad. Was your past worse than Apostle Paul's? Think about that for a second. A murderer of women and children and men in the name of religion, yet God transformed that man and used him in a way no man has ever been used before. Can you say that you're worse than him? And I hear that all the time. People downtown in Poland and Toro, and they say, no, God can't be, I can't be saved because I'm just too bad. I said, did you ever murder anybody? No, I did. Well, Apostle Paul did. You know what did? God did? He saved him. Are you worse than him? Well, no. Exactly. He can save him. He can save you. If God used him, he can use you. There is still hope in you. While there is life, there is hope. While there is life in them, there is hope. What are you going to do about it? And there is hope for this church. Amen. Oh, no, there is hope for this church. Just because we may have had a dry spell for a little bit doesn't mean that God is done with this church. The next generation is up. What are you going to do about it, next generation? Amen. We have men who have been faithful in preaching. What's going to happen when they pass? You are the next generation. What are you going to do about it? Are you just going to say, oh, there's no hope, so I'm just going to give up? No, we can't do that. We can't do that. Now, churches fail all the time. Churches fall, they fail all the time. I don't want to see that in this church. I don't want to see that. But we know one thing, God, Jesus has never failed and will never fail and he will never let us down. And you can be certain that he is using us and he is using this church. And if you don't do something about it now, this church will fail. And I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. And I don't want to be part of, I want to be part of a movement. I want this next generation say to take upon themselves, ourselves, says, what will we do? And not looking unto the elders like, what are they going to do? Or what's somebody else? Well, I don't know how to do that. Just do it. Figure out a way. Think about it. God can use you. Who will stand in the gap? When somebody fails, when somebody passes, will there still be hope for this church if you do nothing? If you do nothing, it's guaranteed to fail. If you do nothing. I don't want that. And I'm pretty sure you don't want that either. We need to do something. There is still hope. Maybe God is calling you to some ministry here in this church, or to serve him in whatever capacity you can. Or even maybe you're here and you're not even saved. God is calling you to get saved. That is what he wants. He wants all to come to understanding, all to be saved. He wants everybody to repent. But he wants all of his children to do something. We are all called to preach. We are all called to be a testimony. We are all called to be a light. We are all called to be salt. All. Not just the leader, not just the elders, not just the deacons, not just the men. Everybody. Every woman, child, and man who is a child of God has a responsibility to do something for God. Forgive me if I'm screaming too loud, but this is... I can't think of any more passionate reason to serve the Lord than for that lively hope that we have in us. Yeah. I can't think of a better thing to do with your lives. And I tell my kids all the time, a life without serving the Lord is a wasted life. I repeat that to them every day. And they know it. I want them to think about it and to know it, because I want whenever later on in their lives, I just say a life, and they should know already what I'm talking about. A life not living for the Lord is a wasted life. We cannot waste our lives. God has given us so much. And just throw it away like that, it should be a shame. It's a shame that more Christians don't live for the Lord the way they should. It's a shame. there is still hope for the mission field. There is a mission field out there. There is a harvest waiting just to be harvested. There are fields out there just waiting for people to come and just tell them, do you know how many people are dying to hear what the hope that is in you? They don't know where to find it because nobody has told them. How shall we call if we don't know who? On whom to call. That's why he said, go, send those preachers, send them. I think we need to be sent. And there needs to be someone to send. Amen. Where are the people who are willing to be sent? Amen. I think this church is ready to send someone. They're ready. We're praying about it. Morning meetings. Lord, send someone. Two people, two families, someone. Send someone, Lord. Listen to him. Maybe he's calling you tonight. Maybe he's saying, I'm knocking on your door. Are you being like Samuel? Yes, Lord. Here am I. Or you say, nope, not me, Lord. Wrong door. Door number three. That's the door you should go to. Right? I'm too set up for life. I got too many things going right for me right now. I believe in this country, we're just too comfortable. Kind of like what my dad was saying about getting out of your comfort zone. Just too comfortable. And that's one thing that scared me when I came back as a young man. It was just too comfortable. I wasn't used to the comfort of this. I was used to, you know, trials and tribulations. I was used to the mission field. I was used to, you know, hey, we got to pray for these people, you know. We got problems here. We got problems there. Let's pray. And I came here and I was like, let's go have fun. Let's go bowling. I'm not saying bowling is bad or anything like that. I'm just saying the entertainment was just exaggerated. And it was just so much more than the spiritual that I was used to. And I was like, I feel like I'm suffocating. Yes. And it's suffocating for me especially. And that's one of the reasons why I just, you know what, Lord? I think you're telling me you need me over there. I feel like that's my place. I was a fish out of water because I wanted to preach. I wanted to tell people about Jesus Christ. And I was doing that here, but it was just so many distractions. So many distractions around me. I think we get a little bit too comfortable in our lives. Let's go back to Ezra, chapter 10. Yet now there is hope. I praise God, yet now there is hope. Not tomorrow, now. The time is now. Don't wait until you feel your call. Don't wait until, like Brother Billy said, if you don't feel like you're called, volunteer. I like that. You don't know your job. Is he calling me? Did I miss the call? Was I home and was I not home and he left my answering machine? Volunteer. Say, Lord, I'm going to give it a try. I want to just volunteer. If you don't like that, you can be voluntold. I was told many things like that, you know. You don't have to be volunteer. You know, you can voluntold. You know, that was how I was. You know, you're voluntold. You want to volunteer. There are ways. There is hope now, not tomorrow. People are dying now. People are going to hell now.
Right.
Things are breaking down now. Things are going bad now. What are you going to do about it now? Life is full of choices. And what you choose to do now will show what you do tomorrow. Will have a result tomorrow. What you do now. The choices you make now will show up tomorrow. What are you going to do now? Here we have Shechaniah says something very interesting in verse 4. He tells Ezra, arise. Ezra he's down. He's upset. He's sad. He's weeping. He's crying for the people. And the people themselves, they say to Ezra, arise. Get up. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop being a sourpuss. Yes, all right, we did it wrong. Let's not stay down. Let's not stay in that position. Well, there is something we can do. What he says, arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. This is your job to do. I like that. Arise. You've got something to do. You feel that you messed up in your life, your past issues may be hindering. Don't let that hinder. Arise. This matter belongeth unto thee. This is your job to do. Nobody else's. Nobody else can make the decision except you. Nobody can, like I said, voluntold you. That's not how it works. Nobody's going to say, you know what, I think you're the perfect candidate for a missionary. They may say that, but they don't know. Oh, God knows what He wants, who He wants. God chooses, and if you don't feel that, don't go. I just tell you right now, there is somebody, I feel, somebody is can do something more tonight. You can do something. Arise, for this matter belongs unto thee. And he says, we also will be with thee. We'll be with you. Thank God for the church. Thank God for the congregation. Thank God that we have backing. You know what? I could not do it without you. Thank God we got people on our side who are encouraging. I want to praise God for the encouragement that I get from you. Every single month I see and I hear of the prayers and I hear what's going on here. And we pray for you and we have a mutual prayer time. We are praying for each other and lifting each other up to the Lord. We're encouraging. And what he says here, we will be with thee, right? We also will be with thee. Thank God that we have somebody who's with us. Get up. We'll be with you. This is your job. This thing belongs unto thee. This is your responsibility. Thank God we're not alone. Thank God we're not alone in this matter. Thank God we're not just out there trying to figure out. We got backing. Thank God. If nothing else, we got Lord Jesus Christ with us. We got Him on our side. Or we're on His side. And he says something here very interesting. Be of good courage. I saw this on a Western sign. I was shopping for some things for our house. And one thing it said, there's some in Hobby Lobby, it said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyways. I like that idea. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyways. All right. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to get on that horse and I'm going to go. I don't know where this horse is going to take me, but I don't care. This is something I got to do. A man's got to do what a man's got to do. And maybe you have to tell your wife that. Honey, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. Pick up those britches. Put your spine back where it belongs. Amen. And do what you got to do. Because that's what he says, doesn't it? Look at the next passage. It says, and do it. And do it. It's not something that, you know, well, think about it. And we'll get back together next week. And we'll have a conference and see if it's a good thing to do or not. No, he didn't say that. Shechaniah said, you know what? Be of good courage. The Lord is with you, right? We know who is on our side. We know we have, what Deuteronomy says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got God on our side. We can be full of courage. Oh, we may be scared to death, but we know who's on our side. And he says, do it. Just do it. Sounds like a Nike, right? Just do it. I guess that's where they got it from. They stole it from the Bible. You thought it was a modern day, wow, they're very smart. Nuh-uh. That was Shechaniah. It should have been paying him royalties for that. Just do it. Get up and do it. Stop whining about it. Stop giving excuses. Stop saying, well, I can't because I got my family. Well, I can't because I got that or I got this or I got these problems. Look, listen, you just do it. Be of good courage. Just do it. Get out there and do what God is calling you to do. Amen. Be of good courage. We'll be with you. We are with you and you're not going to be alone. Praise God. If somebody here tonight says, you know what, God is calling me, we'll be with you. We'll pray for you. We'll support you. We'll help you. We want to see people being sent out of here. Just don't give excuses. Be of good courage. Do it. That is so important. The job has to get done by someone. Why not you? Why not you get involved in what you just saw, two different presentations? The history and the present. Why not you get involved in something like that? Man, that's what I wanted. I remember I was a kid, man, I want to be part of that. I want to see something grow. And there's nothing better than seeing a spiritual growth. Who cares about the stock market? Who cares about all these other things? I want to see spiritual growth. I want to invest in something that is eternal and everlasting. That no one can steal from me. And no matter if the stock market crashes or not, I know who still is my hope. Come on. Let's do something for the Lord. Look at verse 3. Last thing. Verse 3, they said, now therefore let us make a covenant with our God. Amen. Let's make a covenant with our God. Let's give Him our lives. You know, you gave your life, and you're maybe a child of God, but you're still holding back. You're still wanting to hold on to your reins. God has said, let go of that horse. You may be scared to death, but get on that horse. I will lead you. I want you to go in a different way. But Lord, I feel I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. Make a covenant with the Lord. Promise Him. Give Him your life. Get up and do it. Amen.